All right, I'd like to call this meeting of the Community Services Committee to order. We have present legislators Burton and legislators Myers and myself. And we have Patsy Yang, head of the County Health Department here, on invitation to give us an update on what's happening in her department. So I know that you've just come from another committee meeting. So.
I think it was about calorie postings that you wanted an update.
Well, a departmental overview, really. Last week we had Grant Mitchell here, and we were talking about some of the problems in terms of the cost and the programs. And one of the things we talked about at the end was the fact that there's been a lot of talk about the merging of the two departments. So I'd like you to provide some input to that as well. But you can start with the calories if you want to, or give us a department.
As a, if I may, through the chair, another thing that might be really helpful, because it could be coming down the pike, would be if you wanted to discuss the community neighborhood health centers, too.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you want
to. I don't know if you're prepared to do that today or not.
Some miscommunication. I thought it was just coming about calories, but, you know, we can
sorry
we can
about
speak
that.
Extemporaneously.
We want to move on to salt.
Like New York City, right?
Yes, we just do it New York.
Calories are so 2008.
Yes.
Let's see, where do we begin? You know, we're mostly looking at the state budget.
He's a real
client. Why don't you go on?
The state budget, I mean, the governor's proposal so far has been, you know, relatively speaking, given the severity of fiscal constraints, relatively sparing of public health. Our general state aid is not on the chopping block at this point in time. And as grants, I think we've reported to you over the years, have not increased in funding, and that's a core source of revenue to the department. And because grants have been level funded, that has in effect translated into reduction in funding for essential public health services, basically because it doesn't catch up with inflation. Beginning last year, the state actually started reducing our grant funding, so this is turning into actual reductions. I'm not sure how that will impact us, you know, until we know the specifics of grant funding, but it's a tough environment out there. You know, H1N1, we're still encouraging everybody to please go get their flu shots. We're just coming into regular flu season now. H1N1, fortunately, didn't experience the sort of the antigenic shift that we feared that would increase the severity of the disease.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
That is a very good thing. And while H1N1 has hit more severely other parts of New York State, downstate, it's been pretty mild winter, and some of the thinking is maybe that we got hit harder earlier back in the spring and peaked then, and that statewide there might be a peak later.
I know I got hit hard a couple weeks ago, boy.
Really?
You got it?
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, you
but
mean
I
your
was just,
school?
I got whatever I got. It was pretty bad. Yeah. But I think it was a virus.
Yeah. Flu's, you know, the flu virus is whether it's the regular or H1N1. H1N1 has been widely circulating even among the regular. You know, I wish to get their flu shots. Once you've had the flu, you know it's not just a bad cold.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Right.
Matter of fact, the H1N1, they've dropped the guidelines now.
They opened it up.
And so it's open to anyone. Oh. You don't have to fit the profiles.
Oh, that's good, huh?
The demographics.
Right. Anyway. Right. The priority groups.
I got one last Friday.
Did you?
It didn't hurt. I didn't cry. It's okay. I've
never gotten a flu shot.
Oh, I've been
never got one.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Should.
I guess I should stop.
Especially as a teacher. Exposed to all those germs.
What do you do? Lock yourself in your office, man?
He walks around with a mask.
It's not that easy.
And I guess just in calories, you know, the calorie posting that went into effect in May, mm-hmm. right? There's about 400 chain restaurants in Westchester, And since then, we've probably inspected about 300. We're almost up to a yearly cycle. We actually had 12 restaurants violations for restaurants that we inspected between, you know, basically May and January. Mm. So most of them have just sent in, waived, and said, yep, guilty. You know, here's our $100,125 fine. There's a handful that have not, all bon pan, which
still?
No, they you know, they came in front of here. Well, bon pan,
and you know who caught them was Dr. Lipsman,
really?
The ex-commissioner, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who went to the Au Bon Pain that's in the medical center and noticed
no
calorie counts posted, and they got fined.
Yeah, they were one of three. The other one was in Maria Ferrari.
Oh, Maria Ferrari, Children's Hospital. So mm-hmm. same place.
And the other one's at Valhalla. And they all had blue violations. So they actually came to hearing and stipulated and paid their fines. And then Domino's is actually, there's two Domino's, one in Austin and Yonkers, who are coming up for hearing. And so Legislator Myers, as a member of the Board of Health, will be hearing the...
Do you want to come in for the Austin one?
No, but they make lousy pizzas.
They make, they charge them more then, right?
Yeah, charge them. Are you seeing, if I may, Madam Chair, are you seeing that it's a chain-wide decision or an individual franchisee who's failing to do the job?
They do, you know, it's hard to say. Au Bon Pain, there were three of them, all in Valhalla. Domino's, there's one in Austin, one in Yonkers, but they're individual. Most of them are franchises. You know, Burger King is, you know, they're...
Well, but the argument that we heard from the chains was that it's going to be incredibly expensive, crippling, and then the franchisees tried to make it seem as though they were themselves going to be responsible for it, when in fact I think we all believe that the boards were going to come from the head of the state, at least the statewide franchise group. But if you're seeing Domino's and Austin failing, but Domino's and Hawthorne is doing it, that would suggest maybe that the franchisee has failed to post the stuff they sent it.
Yeah, I mean...
Do we know the answer to that?
Even though they're changed, they are franchises, and it's not like every Domino's in Westchester is on the exact same permitting mm-hmm. cycle. Mm-hmm. So we treat each one as a standalone, but generally as a chain, they do benefit from each other's menus, signage. So it, you know, given the fact that there's only been 12 mm-hmm. violations out of about 300 chain restaurants that were inspected during this period of time, that's a pretty high compliance rate.
Is
Patsy, is the first level of fining the $125 across the board for the first offense?
Yes. $125 is basically the fine if you have been found in violation of not posting the calorie content, and you basically plead guilty, send in your check, and waive hearing. If you come to hearing, the fine is basically $250. Mm-hmm. And then it goes up if you've got other violations. I mean, we certainly inspect for other things, mm-hmm. sanitation conditions.
Mm-hmm. Are you prepared to declare victory?
No, but no victory. Hmm. We never rest on our laurels in public health because of, but sure. I think it's a very, very, you know, it's an effective law. I mean, it's been demonstrated that, you know, people will make better choices, smarter choices. They'll opt
yeah,
for
new
lower
brand
calorie.
New study just came
and
out.
And in fact, there are franchises like chain restaurants like Starbucks, which have come up with, they'll still have the muffins, they're making them smaller. I mean, this whole supersizing mm-hmm. is actually being somewhat turned around mm-hmm. only because the calorie content is stunning when you see it's, you know, 1,000 calories for something this big, but if you made a little bit smaller, it might be palatable. Forgive the pun. You know.
Yes, no, but that's true. And palatable is a big part of it.
Right. Sorry, Mr. Testa.
Sorry. What is the guarantee that the numbers are correct?
That the numbers are correct.
The calorie estimates are
there
correct.
There are some that are wrong.
There are some that are wrong. Yeah. There's
some
random testing.
Fines for
there's
that.
Random,
too.
I was just going to say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think nationwide they're beginning to find chain-wide there are some that are incorrect, and I think they're getting some fines from elsewhere.
Yeah. This is an aside. As an aside, is the downsizing reflected in the cost of any of these commodities? This has nothing to do with the
Of course not. Downsizing? No, charge more for a smaller
item. Boutique items.
Yes, exactly.
They're doing it in the supermarkets?
Yes, they
everything.
Certainly are. Okay, thank you. Anything else you want to tell us about the calorie counting?
No, I think it's, thank you for that.
I know in both of the bills that were
yes.
in Washington,
right.
Both the Senate and the House of Representatives bill had calorie posting in them, and it was very, very close to Westchester's law. That would have been, it would be a national law.
Yeah.
The state of New Jersey just passed one, too.
Yes. And I think the state of New York has something.
They have a bill.
I don't know what's happened to it.
They haven't heard anything about it.
I know the latest study that I read last week, I think it was, indicated that parents were very careful about it themselves, but they didn't watch it too much for their children. Is
mm-hmm.
that right? Something like that. Hmm. They watch it for one level, but not for the other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
so we're still going to be plagued with fat children, in other words.
Well, children, you know,
that's a big problem.
Issue, the overweight issue starts, as we know, from early years, mm-hmm. and what habits you form. And it's not just an individual; it's the entire environment. We can't just fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, the school menus. You've got to deal with what happens when you come home. So it's good that parents are looking after what they're eating, because that'll change and model behavior for their children.
Hopefully, yeah.
I'm only saying this halfway facetiously, but I wonder, would there ever be a way to include something like that in early intervention?
In what sense?
Childhood obesity?
Well,
I mean, it's just as much a signal that something not good is going to happen if it doesn't get corrected early. I mean, is there ever been any movement in that regard?
Not really. There is movement to integrate services for young children for screening. So, for example, if we had somebody in early intervention who was significantly overweight, would we talk to the parent? Would we suggest raising the issue with their pediatrician? Absolutely. Is it something that EI would do? Is as a service or a treatment? No,
it's not included.
But do we make referrals? It's like lead poisoning. We'll screen for lead poisoning, but it's not because it's an EI service. It's because
while they're there, you might as well,
for, you know,
yeah.
everything, and refer to their pediatrician,
mm-hmm.
yeah. or to our lead program for abatement or remediation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like lead poisoning, for example, is much more tied to development of the brain,
mm-hmm.
especially for children under five. Large muffins from Starbucks.
unless they're filled
large
with lead.
A little piece of lead in them. Terrible. Can you address to some extent any thoughts that you might have or any work that's been done looking toward the possibility of a merger of the two departments?
There hasn't really been much discussion with us. I mean, that was the prior administration's budgetary proposal, and it was really focused on, 50% funding of two commissioner positions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are certainly counties and municipalities that have merged mental health and health, but also other services, not just health and mental health. Many times it's more of a symbolic thing than a you know, there's a differentiation between public health and healthcare. I think there's a very much more of a natural fit between mental health services and healthcare services. We're not about healthcare services. The way we touch the public is largely through on the environmental side, enforcement regulation. On the clinical side, it's really education and screening, you know, community affairs, working through faith-based organizations, schools, changing the environments there. But really, in terms of clinical care, the only thing that we're really still only doing is tuberculosis and sexually transmissible infections. And those are both time-limited, especially with STIs. It's basically a diagnose and treat, which is not conducive to the sort of longer-term mental health relationship that you have with a patient one-on-one. We don't do one-on-one except for a clinical disease. And there, it's very short-lived. It's very acute. find them, diagnose them, get them treated, find out who they might have exposed. But you know, all things are possible. I think we've talked before about other common functions that all departments have, not necessarily health and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this body has considered other departments as well, and other departments.
Anyone have any comments on that particular subject?
I just know that through, and I think I've mentioned this before, that the Board of Health has specifically requested that when this does come up, however this is to be dealt with, they would very much like a seat at the table.
Yes.
How does New York City, what's happened there? They did merge, right? Or did they unmerge?
No, they're sort of merged, but there's, you know, an executive deputy commissioner who runs mental health, who reports to the health commissioner, who runs health.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And they're really two separate, with one head.
I'm not aware of a public health department that has our portfolio. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a health department like Suffolk County, which doesn't have the merge, but you know, Suffolk County looks like what we did decades ago, you know. They
real
run health centers,
real
they run,
care.
Run primary care clinics, dental clinics, you know, HMO, Medicaid managed care plans, the whole
Suffolk
healthcare piece. We got out of that a long time ago. I mean, yeah. We saw the writing on the wall when, you know, Westchester in 1995 was the first one to go mandatory Medicaid managed care. That changed the topography of healthcare providers. We didn't need to compete with people mm-hmm. who could do it weekends, nights, evenings, mm-hmm. less expensively, more efficiently, more effectively, higher quality. I mean, my philosophy has always been to do what nobody else will do. We don't need to compete with right. the private sector. And so, you know, most of the kind of services in mental health rely on ongoing contact with individuals. That's not what we do. Individual residents, that's not what we do.
Well, then I guess that's a good segue to the community health centers then, right?
They're important players in the healthcare field. They're not public health, but they are healthcare players, like the hospitals, like the large practices.
Are you going to talk about the community health centers now?
She doesn't sound like it, but
I'm not. You know, I would see to the administration to mm-hmm. sort of answer that okay. in terms of how we will as a county government respond to the budgetary challenges facing us.
Anyone else have comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Albert Nunziata. I'm the Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute. I would like to say while we have a couple of health department-related issues, which for the purposes of this committee, I would like to mention very briefly. One is that the health department plays a very key role in obviously building and construction. And the general experience in the past on a couple of problems have been, whereas let's say the State Department of Health recognizes certain technologies in X or Y fields like septic field technologies or whatever, that would increase the density of development on a given piece of land, everything according to oil and environmental laws, whatever, and thereby increasing the density of development of, let's say, a housing development, lowering the cost of that housing for people. The county health department in the past would say, no, we don't recognize this and go with the, you know, our ideas, which would then cut the density of development. And we would say, why? If the technology is up to date and does the job, septic, you know, cleans all the effluent, whatever, why not go for the increased density, everything according to oil, environmentally sound, and thereby providing more housing? So that's one issue that we have come up with in the past. And secondly, is I understand there's a public hearing on February 18th on some increased fees for underground storage facilities. The Institute also represents the major and minor property managers throughout the county. And this has been another problem a source of problems in the past, where there have been problems of notification and inspection, signage, and whatever. All we would say is that if there are increased fees coming down the pike with new regulations, it's one thing to kind of have them posted, but it's another thing to say, look, this is what's coming down the pike, but we'd like to meet with the industry people who it's going to directly affect and get your input before the final imprimatur is put on these regulations. You know, you have an association who's ready, willing, and able to meet with you, and in one shot, at our expense, at a hotel, conference room, or whatever, get you the major players, whether they be home builders or property managers, and so that you or your staff could say, you know, let's get your input. Going back to what, and not to monopolize, but I think it's important, going back to what Judy was saying about education, is that we have a not-for-profit foundation, Westchester Foundation, a.k.a. Construction Industry Foundation. It seems that the private sector, whether it be a foundation or a corporation or whatever, might be a lot of willing partners out there to assist the county in defraying costs or otherwise in what I think is a very important role, is a public education role on this, that, or the other subject critical to the, you know, I'm an old-fashioned guy, you know, provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare, and I think health is part of the general community welfare. So I would just offer that I think there are a lot of private sector entities out there who, given the cash-strapped county, might be willing to help out, and certainly our foundation certainly would be one of the ones who would be glad to help out in a lot of these different venues. So that's my piece.
Wow. Thank you.
I wonder if Karen can help fingernails that. Would she be the person? In terms of thinking of, you know,
said, amen.
Educational outreach, marketing, public relations.
She would be part of it, but it's really Paul Cutsey's shop that Mr. Nunziata is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about the Board of Health.
Right. Oh, that part. But I was thinking the other part.
Mr. Nunziato, is this Nunziata?
Annunziata. And actually,
Annunziata.
I'm still not used to it, because when I hear Mr. Nunziata, I'm always looking back to see if my father's
right.
My father will always be Mr. Nunziata.
Have you explored with any other county departments or agencies in terms of the help that you're willing to offer, or association?
We've not currently, but in the previous regime, we did approach the planning department with some little success, and quite frankly, I don't know if you were at many of the meetings I was at with your predecessor, but the reception was not a very warm, cuddly one.
Okay.
So I'm offering it again.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Phillips, and I'm from Peekskill, and certainly here in terms of hearing what's being presented to the committee in reference to health care. And I was very pleased to hear your statement regarding community health centers, and certainly the part that they play in providing health throughout Westchester County. And having been a part of that for many, many years, I'm like your dad when you say it's always Mr. Well. I put the healthcare banner on for some 35 years, and certainly it was all of our efforts with community health centers to take on that part and not be duplicative in terms of what was being done by the county health department, but being a partner in the relationship for providing health care to our residents in the county. And I'm sure, and as you have just alluded to, that would be on to what the legislators will seek to do in terms of how we fare out in these days and times where economics play a very high, important role in what we do within the county. But I'm just pleased to hear that, and just want to echo those comments that we do continue to stand ready to fulfill the obligations that we have for primary and preventive health.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. Committee?
Well, I can just say that the Peekskill, now it's Hudson Valley Health. Hudson Valley almost said
Hudson Valley
the community, the health center, Peekskill Health Center, has been a big part of the city, and especially for our youngsters of the city and those in need of health care that might normally not be able to get it. So they've played a very important role in Peekskill. And Reverend Phillips has been a big part of that. So. Since the beginning of it.
Not to allow the commercial time to go unused. We have a representative from the Austin Open Door and affiliates in four other locations present who I would just simply put ditto marks under what John said about the impact that the Open Door has had in our communities and other communities around the county. We know, and the reason why Dr. Yang is being circumspect on this is that we went through a difficult time in the budget process this past year, where her predecessor had offered up the neighborhood health centers as an example of where healthcare reform might impact on the necessity of the county funding, and I think we reached a consensus that. Unless and until healthcare reform does kick in with the kind of funding that it was thought might happen, that we would leave that in abeyance. That was in December. It's now February. Right. Things have not gotten any better.
No, they haven't.
So we recognize that the administration is the administration and that things may get a little chancy. And Dr. Yang is wise to hold her peace in this because we just don't know. But these are tough times, and at least I think John and I and many others, probably all of us at this table, would certainly go to bat for the maintenance, but we recognize that there may be a little give all the way around here. Our friends in the provider community are very important to us because we know who's vulnerable and who's not.
Yes. Well, I guess I have maybe the last word.
You are. There's your chair.
Well, I can add my 2 or 3 cents in for the Mount Vernon Neighborhood Health Center and its satellites. One of the things that always impressed me was the numbers, and I guess I could use an update from you. In terms of the sexually transmitted diseases, what are our stats like now compared to, say, 2 or 3 years ago? Do you have any update information on that?
There hasn't really been, unfortunately, a change.
Thank goodness. Because at one point it was rising rather rapidly and drastically.
It continues to rise in two categories. One is chlamydia, and one is early syphilis.
Mm. Oh, my God. And
so
is this,
is there... On tuberculosis, we still have about the same number of cases, which is a goodly share. We also, this year, this calendar year, in the last month or so, had a few more confirmed multiple drug resistant cases of tuberculosis that we have a disproportionate to our population rate of MDR cases in the nation. Mm-hmm. There's fewer than 100 cases nationally, and we have 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Do you see this happening? And of course, those numbers are not high enough to look, but
no, but they are of concern. Because
right.
Then, you know, whereas one tuberculosis case, you will be following somebody for a year, this other case, you're following them for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about in terms of age range? Are these young people or?
There's no
particular.
They're adult.
Oh, okay. Yes.
We used to talk to Dr. Lipson from time to time about the HIV issues, and we have the mobile van, and we put some board money into that a number of years ago. We were, I think at the time, curious as to the shift in HIV AIDS initial cases away from men to women. Has that shift continued? The proportion of women is increasing, or has that returned to what, if you want to think of it as the old model?
No. Westchester's demographics, HIV, AIDS, remains a huge problem for Westchester. I mean, apart from New York City, we're it.
Mm. Number two, did you know that?
No.
After New York City, we are the number two HIV, AIDS
in raw numbers.
Raw numbers.
Not just percentages, but raw numbers.
And it's increasing, especially in the...
And in rate one, number one.
And
yeah.
rate number one.
If you adjust it for population.
Right. And especially in the area of middle-aged women, middle-aged black women.
Mm. Yeah.
And that remains, that has always been our targeted demographic. It's really, initially, you know, when the epidemic occurred or emerged in the 70s, it was mostly New York City-based, and there it was MSM, men who have sex with men, and that has not, you know, as the epidemic grew and spread, there was some less of a defined pattern for us. Our largest and most affected group are middle-aged women of color. And that's partly related to, I mean, who their partners may be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a whole down-low issue. People, their male partners who may go down to the city, which is where, you know, we get a lot of our STI patterns from. A lot of them are contracted, acquired in the city, but they live here, and they come home,
and they infect their wives and mm-hmm. girlfriends.
So the proportion of female middle-aged victims remains high. It has not subsided.
Correct.
Okay.
You know, we continue to work with our community partners and make some really great new linkages with faith-based organizations to reach populations that we were otherwise not able to reach, to work with hair salons.
Yeah, the hair salon part was really cool.
Yeah, and you know, we're trying to go where we need to be to reach folks who might not otherwise come to us for testing mm-hmm. because it's not convenient, they may not be aware that they're at risk.
Mm-hmm. But usually there's a 2 to 3 year lull between the actual outbreak.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. Well, we do it from contracting the virus and
right.
and being diagnosed with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is the van still going around? I wonder.
The medical center.
Yeah. And the Ryan White funding, is that still?
Ryan White is still federally funded and still, fortunately, not dried up. So that still comes to us, and we still administer it to the Tri-County region. And that service is not prevention. But
no.
Critical.
Right.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you coming in.
All your support.
And all your information.
Okay.
Thank you. See you soon.
Bye. Do you want to talk to us about, I think I have, you referred the Office of Children and Family Services, the fatality report?
Oh, no, that went to Bill Ryan.
Okay.
It goes to the chair, so... I guess he would have handed them all over to Ken.
Mm-hmm.
But those are usually receive and file.
But it's usually receive and file. Although,
and
you know, Melanie, we have done some interesting stuff with that. Sometimes if you get a couple of them, it's often good just to bring in the people who sit on the Fatality Review Board or...
I should think so.
Yeah.
And as far as the second referral, this is the reappointment of Doug Aspros, who represents White Plains on the County Board of Health. And that's a reappointment, and you think, Amelia?
I actually put that on the wrong agenda. I have to fix that. Mm-hmm. It's in legislation.
It's in legislation, yeah.
And
that's supposed to
be. We will
be
meeting next week as a subcommittee on appointments, subject to availability of members.
Okay.
I'm looking at John because he's not his experience for the first time. But subject to availability of the members, we will be bringing Dr. Aspros's nomination forward.
Do
I don't know. That's where Amelia has to check and see who's
what
available
do
when. We usually do it on Mondays, but that's
oh, no, Mondays
are going
to
be
but that's
Thursday.
Why we have to check. We need only two members to present to do it. So it just depends. But I want to get it done next week so that we can have it on the board's agenda on the 22nd.
Yeah.
And so if we do our part, we'll be okay.
Okay.
But he will be on as a reappointment. He doesn't have to appear. The others are administration appointees, and they will be appearing. So.
Okay.
All right. I guess we should figure out the date of our next meeting. Next week is out for at least Tuesday or Wednesday. Is everyone attending the NYSAC conference?
No, I can't go. I'm going to go
Monday and Tuesday.
I'm going to go Monday and Tuesday as well. We don't have anything pressing, so really, I guess we could wait.
Put it off a week.
Yeah.
And then the following week is you're probably off.
Yeah.
I'm off.
That's school break. Yeah. Right.
So you can have it anytime you want.
Oh, I was going to say, so where are you going skiing?
No, I don't go away.
You don't go away? No. Oh, okay.
We may have a problem with Tuesday because people from Monday will try to
Make it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, Monday's Washington, President's Day, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll tentatively we'll look at the following week unless something comes up.
Okay.
And if we do it that week of President's Day, we'll try to do it on Wednesday instead of the Tuesday, so we won't interfere with some of the Monday moved over to Tuesday meetings. So.
Oh, and we have minutes.
Yes.
And I fixed it. Oh, you did. Did you vote on it?
No.
Oh, we didn't vote on
Chair
it.
Chair has not called for a vote.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mr. Burton sent me a couple of corrections.
And okay.
So you fixed it. Okay.
Okay.
So can I hear?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
To approve them.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Moved by Legislator Myers, seconded by Legislator Burton to accept the minutes of our January 26th meeting. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
It's cutthroat on the side of the table as to who gets moved and who gets the second.
I'm not going to get in the middle of it.
You want to play this game, John? You gotta give somehow. You gotta just wedge your way in there.
Okay.
As long as it gets moved and seconded, it doesn't matter who does.
She's so applied. What happens?
All right, I make a motion
very much
to adjourn.
Second.
Woo!
Oh, okay.
Thank you, operator.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, we know we're a brother. John Gertie. Real important guy. I don't care if he's a real important guy. I don't care if he's a real important guy.